visitors with us. We're very glad to have you that are visiting, and I hope that you'll stay around a little bit afterwards. Let us get a chance to talk to you and get to know you a little bit. We have been studying for quite some time now some things about heaven. In the first part of our study, we were talking and looking at how heaven someday helps me live for Jesus today in ways that knowing about heaven and looking forward to heaven helps me to live more the way that God wants me to today. We're continuing on with that study, but before we get into our study this morning, a couple of things that I want to tell you about. First of all, 5 o'clock this afternoon, right here in the auditorium, completely free of charge, and Brian will even provide the popcorn, okay, if you want that. We have the movie, The Book of Daniel, 5 o'clock right here, so I want to encourage you to come back and share that time. 2 other things that I want to tell you about that are upcoming next week, okay? The first one, we're going to be having immediately after services, fellowship meal, and that is in honor of our widows. So I want to encourage you to plan to stay next Sunday after services, and let's honor the widows that we have in our church family here. Now, after that, Sunday evening, it's our 4th Sunday next week, 4th Sunday fellowship that we always try to get together, that 4th Sunday do something. This month we have something really special that we're doing because we have one of our members who's getting ready to go into the military service. And so Derek, we're going to be honoring Derek next Sunday evening with some cake and ice cream fellowship as we get ready to send Derek off to Marine boot camp. And he's going to need to eat lots of cake and ice cream because he's not going to be able to eat a whole lot of that. And I don't know, maybe because of all the exercise and training they're going to give, he'll eat more. I don't know. But that's what we got planned. And then just encourage you to come back next Sunday evening for that as we just spend some time hugging on Derek and wishing him well for that. So keep those 2 things in mind, all right? Okay, so we've been talking about heaven and looking at what is heaven really going to be like. This heaven that we long to be at, we long to have when we pass from this life, what's it going to be? What can we expect? And that's some of the things that we have been looking at. Now, so far, over the last couple of weeks, some of the things that we've seen in our study of what the Bible tells us about heaven is that, first of all, heaven is a real place. Okay? Heaven is a real place. It's not just some mystical, you know, out there something. Heaven is a real, tangible, physical, corporeal place. All right? And furthermore, some of the other things that we've talked about is that when we are in heaven, we will have glorified bodies. We'll have some kind of real body. I don't know what they'll be made out of. I know what they won't be made out of. They won't be flesh and blood. But we will have a form, some kind of a body that the Bible calls a glorified body that we will live in for all eternity. And then also, we're going to enjoy this eternity, all right, in what we saw last week in our study as the Bible describes as a new heaven and a new earth. It's not going to be like this physical earth that we're living on now. It will be a physical or material place of different properties like we've been talking about, but it's going to be all new, say, for us to enjoy for all eternity. Now, so let's continue and talking about the realities of heaven, but this morning, I want to take just a step back, okay, because I want us to spend some time looking at what will be missing from heaven. Okay? In other words, there are some things that we should not expect to find in heaven. Now, let me cause you to think about it this way. Probably some of you, I don't know if you've ever gone on one of these all-inclusive vacations, but perhaps you've seen advertisements for them and so forth. And so you can go to these vacation spots, whether it's a cruise or a land-based vacation, and they advertise it's all-inclusive. Well, what does that really mean? Okay? So they give you a list in the brochure, and it's an all-inclusive resort. You pay one price, and then you're able just to relax, and you don't have to worry about paying anything else on your vacation while you're there and so forth. And then they give you this list of things. So, you know, I have to be real careful on this one, all right? They have, you know, that's included. Your alcoholic beverages, okay, your taxes and tips are included. So you don't have to tip people. We'll talk about more of that in a moment. Most, notice that word most there. Most of your water sports are included in the all-inclusive vacation. All of your resort entertainment, your transfers from the airport and so forth. And then look at this last one. Some all-inclusive resort vacation packages include free golf, scuba, and off-site excursions. Some of those do. Of course, that depends on what? Which package you buy. Okay? But this is the idea of an all-inclusive vacation. Now, even in these all-inclusive vacations, there are some things that are missing. There are some things that are not included, in other words. Like, as we mentioned a moment ago, no tipping. You don't have to tip all the people that are doing all the things for you while you're on this vacation, because all that's included in what you paid up front. Now, there's another part of this. Depending on what vacation you choose, okay, and there are some of these vacations that are advertised as adult-only vacations, and so what that means is one of the things that will be missing from these kinds of all-inclusive vacations is children, okay? There will be no children there on that vacation if that's the package that you choose for an all-adult-only vacation time. So even in, the point is, even in all-inclusive vacations, there are some things that are not included. All right, there are some things that are, in a sense, missing from all-inclusive vacations. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to a vacation, so to speak, if you allow me to use that terminology, an eternal vacation in heaven. All right? But having said that, we need to understand that heaven is going to be a lot like some of these all-inclusive places, because there's actually some things that are going to be missing that are not included in heaven. And that's what I want us to focus on this morning. We're going to talk about three things that will be missing from our all-inclusive eternal vacation. So let's take a look at what those things are. Heaven is all-inclusive in the sense of all of the great things that the Bible tells us about that is going to be there, but the Bible also tells us there are some things specifically that will not be in heaven. Okay? Because of their very nature, they're not going to be allowed into heaven. All right, so let's talk about what those things are. What is going to be missing from heaven? The first thing that is going to be missing from heaven is any inclination to rebel. There will not be any rebellion going on in heaven, okay? You won't be able to rebel. No one will be able to rebel in heaven. Now, stop and think about this for a moment, what that really means. Now, why is this so significant for us to understand? Well, because rebellion is where everything started going sour to begin with in heaven, right? Satan rebelled against God and was cast out of heaven, and Satan, ever since then, has been trying to destroy as much of God's creation as possible. You see? And so it all started with rebellion on Satan's behalf, okay? But let's go to the text that we read this morning as we begin. We've been talking about this text several times, and we're going to see it more and more throughout this study. But let's go back here. Look at verse 4 of Revelation 21. He will wipe away every tear, okay, from their eyes. There will be no more death, no more mourning or crying or pain. All right, now why is that? Look at the very next statement. For the old order of things has done what? It has passed away. So the old order of things, and now keep in mind that he's talking about when this occurs, in the final judgment, the final days, this is the way things go. So what we have right now and what we're existing in right now is going to pass away. All right? It will be no more. We have an awful lot of rebellion going on in the world right now, don't we? You see, the world is full of rebellion. But again, keep in mind, he's saying the old order of things is going to pass away. Okay? So that means that in heaven, the sin and temptation that we have now, that we deal with in this life, is going to be gone. It's going to pass away because that's part of the old order of things. All right? And also included in that is rebellion. Okay? Rebellion, as I mentioned a moment ago, is part of the present order, isn't it? Okay? But again, what's going to happen to this order? It's going to pass away. So there will be no rebellion in heaven. We won't be able to rebel against heaven. And there's another reason why. Let's take a look at this particular passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look at what Paul says here. Pay really particular attention to the words that he uses. He says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we will or shall all be changed." Now, what is that change going to be, and why is it so important to us? Why should it be so important to us now? Okay, look at what he says. "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised," look at this, "incorruptible." The dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible, which is what we have now, must put on incorruption. And this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Now, I want you to pay particular attention to the words corruptible and incorruptible, and mortal and immortality, okay? They mean two different things. One of the problems we often find is some translations for corruptible and incorruptible use the word imperishable. Perishable or imperishable, and that's really not the best translation. Because the Greek word that is used here is ptheria, and that word is the word for corruptible. And this is what it means, okay? It means to destroy by means of corrupting, or bringing into a worse condition or state. So let's go back and take a look at that. All right, what is he saying here? At the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, okay, the trumpet's going to sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible. So in other words, when the old order of things has passed away, the dead are going to be raised in a state where we can no longer be corrupted. Okay? You cannot be tempted by sin any longer. Therefore, you cannot rebel against God, because basically that's what sin is, isn't it? Rebellion against God. And he's saying that we will have this corruptible body that's going to be changed. Okay, remember what he said, in the twinkling of an eye, we will be changed. The old order of things is going to pass away. The corruptible is going to do what? Be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed, he says. For the corruptible must put on incorruption. So we will no longer be able to be corrupted once we are out of this life and in heaven. You see? The corruptible must put on incorruption, and the mortal must put on immortality. That part of it is the whole idea of that we have right now, we are mortal beings. We will eventually die. But in heaven, as he said, there'll be no more, we'll talk about this in a few moments, no more death, so we will be immortal. Okay? Everybody following me there? So, in other words, there's not going to be any rebellion, no more sin, you see, no more temptation, none of those things in heaven. That will be missing from heaven. The second thing that's going to be missing from heaven is any confrontation with evil. Okay? You're not going to have to deal with that. You're not going to have to face any, again, we said a moment ago, temptation. Evil will not exist. It will be missing from heaven. Won't that be a blessing? I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm tired of the evil in this world. And that's one of the great things we have to look forward to in this eternal vacation, is we're not going to have to deal with evil anymore. Now, I don't know about you, but you might look at the word evil and you think about people in your life. And you think maybe about that evil neighbor that you have, or that evil boss, or you know whatever the case may be that you deal with. You don't have to deal with any evil at all, because it will be missing from heaven. Why do we say that? Well, let's go back and look at verse 1 of Revelation 21. Notice something really important that we so often miss in this particular statement. John says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea." Now, why is that so significant? Well, because when John wrote these words in John's day, all right, the sea represented evil. It represented the abyss where the beast came up out of. All right? And so as John writes about this, he's talking about the sea, and he's saying, what's going to happen to the sea? Their sea will be no more. And there's going to be this beast during this, at this revelation time, when these things are coming, that beast is going to come up out of the sea, and there's going to be war. But once everything is finalized, the sea will be no more. So evil will not have that place to come out of anymore. Look at what he said back over in 13, chapter 13, Revelation, in verse 1. "And I stood on the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns." Okay, where did it come from? Out of the sea. That's the visualization that people in John's day would have known, because of what they say. That was what they understood. The sea was the place of the abyss. All evil of the old creation is gone when the old order passes away. And that's what we have to remember. Okay? There will be no more evil, because that's part of the old order, and that is going to pass away. In verse 25 of Revelation 21, he tells us this, on no day will its gates ever be shut. Okay, remember we talked about last week, and that we're talking about heaven and where it's going to be in place. We talked about the pearly gates, you say? And John describes the gates. There are 12 gates around the city, and each gate is one pearl. And here he's telling us that those gates of that city will never close. Why? He says, because there is no night there. Why is that so significant? Because again, how do they understand that? Night and darkness represented evil and sin. Okay? Look at what John says in chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light. Because why? Because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. So you see, the understanding is that those who practice evil, they love the darkness. They love the nighttime, because that's when their deeds are hidden from everybody, you see? And so that nighttime represents evil. And what did John tell us? In heaven, the gates are never going to be shut, because there will be no night there. So there will be no opportunity, in other words, for anyone to do evil in heaven. Evil will be missing from heaven. John, 1 John chapter 1, God is light, and in Him there is how much darkness? None. There is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with Him, yet walk in the darkness, We lie and do not live by the truth. So you see, even in this life right now, you cannot put light and darkness together. You cannot live in darkness or walk in darkness and have fellowship with God, because God is light. So the darkness cannot exist in God's presence. Now, I don't know about you, but to me that's reassuring that when we get to heaven, we're not going to have to deal with evil. You say? Not gonna, and the gates will be open. You can come and go, you know, in and out of the city all you want to. There's not going to be any locking of the gates. Okay? Those gates, you see, typically, think about it this way. When you go home and you go to bed at night, before you go to bed, what do? You lock up the doors, right? Because that represents security. You hope that, you know, you lock the doors, nobody's going to be able to come in that isn't supposed to be there. Okay? And if they're supposed to be there, then likely they're going to have a key, right? So you lock your doors. Well, you know, when you understand it this way, you realize there's not going to be any locks on those gates. Okay? The locks will be gone. Because nobody that isn't supposed to be there is going to be allowed in. In fact, here's something else to look at. Go to Revelation 16, verse 10. He talks about the fifth angel. Where is, you know, all this evil going to go? It's not going to be allowed in heaven. Where is it going to go? Look what he says. The fifth angel poured out his bowl, and on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom was what? Plunged into darkness. So there will be this final separation of light and darkness, and all of the evil that exists in the world now under the new order of things, when the old order, that is what we have now, passes away, there will be this separation, and all that evil is going to be plunged into darkness. So it will be separated from those who are in the light of Almighty God in heaven. There will be no evil in heaven. Okay? In fact, John goes on to say this, what he was told about this in verse 27 of Revelation 21. Nothing that is impure will ever enter the city. Okay? So that's going to be missing from heaven. If it's impure, it's not going to be in heaven. Okay? And he goes on to say, anyone who does shameful things or tells lies, they're not going to be in heaven. Okay? But only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life of the living will enter the city. So you see, there will be no evil that we have to contend with when we're in heaven for all eternity. So the temptation that you struggle with in your life right now, and the evil that is so prevalent around us that we have to deal with all the time, none of that will exist in heaven. See? We will be free of all of that. Alright? And the last thing is that any expectation of death or decay, that will be missing from heaven, from eternity. You see? Once you are there, once you die physically from this life, you enter into eternity, death no longer has any kind of hold over us. And we will never die again. All right. Why do we say that? Well, again, go back to the text that we read at the very beginning. Okay? God shall wipe away all the tears. So we know the tears are going to be missing from heaven, right? In the morning and so forth. Look what he says. And there will be no more death. Okay? Now, the Bible tells us that it is appointed unto man once to die. And then after that, we face the judgment. So we're only going to die once. And that's the way that we get out of this physical world we live in into eternity. Where we spend eternity depends on how we're living our life now. That's why it's so important for us to keep in mind, heaven someday helps me live for Jesus today. Because I'm longing to be in heaven with God, but the only way I'm going to be there is if I live my life for Jesus today. Because I'm going to die someday. In fact, what we have to realize is that all of us right now are living and continue to live under the shadow of death. You remember what David wrote in Psalm 23, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, okay, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And the reality is that all of us are going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And as someone once said, and I think it's an appropriate way to say it, we ain't getting out of this thing alive, folks. Okay? All right, we are going to die. Right? But we're only going to have to do that one time. But we're all under that shadow of death. Why is that so? Well, it's because we have a loving and merciful God that all of us are under the shadow of death. You say, wait a minute, Russ, that sounds kind of weird. Death is a bad thing, isn't it? Well, it depends on your condition of your life when you die, really, whether it's a bad thing. If you belong to the Lord, then it's a great thing. If you don't, then yeah, it's a bad thing. Okay? But because we have a merciful God, here's what he did. Genesis chapter 3, verse 22 and 24. After God confronted Adam and Eve with their sin, their disobedience, their rebellion against God in the garden, okay, and he pronounced his punishment upon each one, look at what he says. The Lord God said, the man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. You see, that's the kind of loving, merciful God that we have. Because if he hadn't have done that, what do you think the chances are that Adam and Eve would have gone to that tree and they would have eaten of that tree of life? I think they're pretty good, okay? And what that means is that you and I, along with everybody else, would be immortal here on this earth. In other words, we would never die. But at the same time, we would have to live eternally with all of the pain, with all the sickness, okay, with all the decay, with all of the evil, with all of the things that we've been talking about are going to be missing from heaven, except death. Isn't God a wonderful, merciful God? That he provided a way for us to get out of this life, this physical world that we live in, and be able to join him in a world that will be missing of all of those things for all eternity. So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. And he drove the man out and he placed at the east side of the Garden of Eden the cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life, so that man would not go back in and eat of that tree, thus condemning mankind to have to live forever on this earth with all of its evil and all of its sin and all of its pain and sickness and disease and everything else. What a wonderful, loving, merciful God we have. Romans chapter 8, verse 21. We talked about this part earlier in our study. The creation itself will be liberated from the bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. So God's creation, and we said when we were looking at this particular part of it, that's not only human beings, us, it's all of God's creation. That's why, as we saw last week, there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. That's part of God's creation. And all of God's creation is going to be liberated from the bondage to decay, so there will be no more death, no more dying, no more decay. That will be missing from heaven. And that's why the Apostle Paul is able to say this. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Okay? But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? See, that's the real victory. Because death will be conquered completely. We die that one time in this life, to pass from this life onto eternity where death will be no more. where there will be no more rebellion. See? Because we will be incorruptible. There'll be no more sin. And we will not have to deal with evil of any kind whatsoever. And there'll be no more death. Why? Because Jesus Christ has given us victory over all of those things that we have to deal with in this life. And we will continue to deal with them until that time comes for us to leave this world. But once we do, then we're on that eternal vacation in heaven. We don't have to deal with any of these things. These will not be included in heaven at all. Now, hopefully this gives you some encouragement, especially in the things that you have to deal with in this life right now. Dale and Jerry and I were discussing this morning, we were just talking about it. You look at our church family that we have here. So many people, so many of you, so many of us are struggling with so many different things going on in your lives. Whether it's physical illnesses, diseases, we've got a lot of folks that are struggling with cancer-related illnesses. And folks that have lost loved ones or facing the impending loss of a loved one, friends that are sick or struggling with things, we've got relational stuff going on with people. This is a crummy, crummy world that we live in that respect, isn't it? Because it's full of all of that stuff that we just talked about. The great thing is, that's why we should be looking forward to heaven, because once we get there, we don't have to deal with any of this stuff. See? And that's why, again, as you've heard me say over and over again, heaven someday helps me live for Jesus today. And it's tough, isn't it? That's why God gave us one another as family. So that we would know that we don't have to deal with the garbage of this life alone. We've got one another to lean on, to help. That's why God gave us to one another. And that's one reason why we have a time of invitation. So that when people are struggling with things in their lives, you need some help, some encouragement. Sometimes you just need a hug, don't you? That they have opportunity to come and say, hey, I need prayers for this, or I need help with this, or whatever's going on. This is what's happening. You know, I need lifted up right now. And that's what we want to do. An opportunity for anybody to come and just whatever you need, that we can help you as you deal with the garbage of life this side of heaven. It's also an opportunity for anyone who has not yet given their life to Christ. That you have to understand, until you do that, you are lost in your sin. And your eternal destiny is not a vacation, but is eternal suffering. Okay? With all that is evil. The great news is that if that's where you are right now, separated from God because of your sins, you can fix that. You can be joined together, reconciled with God right now, this morning, if you're ready to make that commitment. Call upon Jesus as your Lord. To repent of the sin that is separating you from God. And have that sin washed away in the waters of baptism. You can do that right now. You don't have to wait. Dale is going to be in the back to receive anyone that would like to have maybe a private conversation or prayer with him. And he'll be back there to receive you. I'll be up front to receive anyone who would like to come up here. Let's stand together.